October 12th, Jesus says, "You too, like the bride in the song, came to me a little dark. Very rare are the souls that, when attracted by my love, do not come to me a bit dark. The life of the world removes that lily whiteness which the soul has on emerging from the dwellings of heaven, to come down to animate flesh born of two loves made one. It is the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, not the astronomical atmosphere created by my father, but the moral atmosphere of earth's, the one created by you, who, because you were poisoned at the beginning by the spirit of evil, bear in your blood the germs of evil injected into the first parents that obfuscates the shining whiteness upon which there is one single stain, which my baptism removes. Oh, the brilliance of the soul after the baptismal lavacral, if it were granted to you to see that luminous whiteness, you would see something which would enrapture your feelings. The lily is dull, and the pearl is gray in comparison to the soul enveloped in the light of baptism. It is like that of the first two, before being seduced by Satan, just as it was when the Father infused it into them to give them his likeness. And, in truth, the soul robed in baptismal grace is like a mirror reflecting God. It is a little God waiting, while loving, to go back to heaven, where its creator love awaits it. If man reflected, and it is for this reason, that my goodness does not calculate the sins committed before the use of reason, if man, when capable of distinguishing between good and evil, and observe that the sensual instincts awaken after the use of reason, before that only the instincts of life are active, which spur the child, to seek the breast or food, the warmth of the mother, or of the son, the mother's hand or the support of objects, if man reflected on what he does, on what he loses by doing, on what misdeed, what theft he arrives at by removing from his soul its baptismal whiteness, what a sacrilege he commits by profaning in himself the true image of God. The spirit of grace, beauty, goodness, purity, and infinite charity, if he reflected on the deicide he commits by killing his soul, oh no, man, a being endowed with reason, would not sin. But man is a foolish king who dissipates the treasures of his kingdom with his sick will, and risks the possession of his kingdom itself, and, observe, Maria, I am not speaking in my name. I do not say that, by sinning you offend me, who have died for you. I speak only defending the interests and sentiments of my father, who has created you like himself, who loves you with a perfection of paternal love, and whom man insults with his lovelessness and defrauds in his hopes, which are to be able to clasp you to his breast on the day of your entry into life. Few are the souls that do not come to God a bit dark, rendered dark by the consequences of the lives they have been unable to lead with that holy and attentive reflection which would be required out of respect for the soul, which has rights superior to the flesh. You abundantly remember the rights of the flesh, something which dies, and which only in being experienced as the handmaid of the spirit and not the mistress of the spirit, can in due time become an inhabitant in the royal palace of the heavens. You are concerned about your appearance, your physical health, and protracting life on earth, as long as possible. But you are not concerned about your souls, about keeping them beautiful, about adorning them more and more so, as to add to their beauty, created by God, the gems conquered by your will as children mindful of the Father, to whom they want to return enriched with merits. True jewels, true wealth that never perishes. You are concerned about physical health, but do not keep watch, to preserve your souls from spiritual illnesses. You are concerned about protracting what you call living, which would more properly be called waiting, and you are not concerned about waiting in such a way, as to conquer for yourselves true life which never perishes. You are concerned about everything in this dark period, which seems so luminous to you, of your stay on earth which I have already explaining to you as being like a gestation, in order to be given to the light, to life and look with horror at the tomb, a dark hole where this body of yours, which you love, as the idolaters you are, returns to the truth of its origin. Mud. Mud from which there is released a flame, a light. The soul. This is what gives worth to the body, O foolish men. The soul which is the gift of God, the spirit which is the manifestation of God, and which has a worth in the face, of which that of the flesh, is a paltry nothing. But how can you, who call yourselves Christians, not remember the words of the Christ, of the Word, of truth? Didn't I tell you, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses it out of love for me will save it? Didn't I say, and what use is it for a man to gain the world, if he loses his soul? What will man give in exchange for his soul? Didn't I say, the grain of wheat which falls does not fructify unless it dies, but if it dies, it produces much fruit? And hasn't all of this opened the eyes of your spirit? But, indeed, how can your spirit open its eyes, if you have buried it under the stones of your carnality? It is like a martyr who has been stoned. With the difference, that in the martyr who is stoned the flesh will die, and the spirit will enter into glory, whereas you, on the other hand, stone your spirit, and rob it of the light here, and in true life. And you are afraid of the darkness of the tomb for your flesh, then insensitive like a lump of mud. Yes. But you are not horrified at condemning, to eternal darkness what is light in you, and longs for infinite light. Your spirit. And you do not consider that, as thirsty seekers after riches, you lose true riches. and hungry for life, you do not consider that you cause yourselves death, the undying death, the death of the spirit. You extinguish yourselves in your immortality as citizens in to go back to heaven, where its creator love awaits it. If man reflected, and it is for this reason that my goodness does not calculate the sins committed before the use of reason, if man, when capable of distinguishing between good and evil, and observe that the sensual instincts awaken after the use of reason, before that only the instincts of life are active, which spur the child to seek the breast or food, the warmth of the mother, or of the son, the mother's hand, or the support of objects. If man reflected on what he does, on what he loses by doing, on what misdeed, what theft he arrives at by removing from his soul its baptismal whiteness, what a sacrilege he commits by profaning in himself the true image of God, the spirit of grace, beauty, goodness, purity, and infinite charity, if he reflected on the deicide he commits by killing his soul, oh no, man, a being endowed with reason, would not sin. But man is a foolish king who dissipates the treasures of his kingdom with his sick will, and risks the possession of his kingdom itself. And, observe, Maria, I am not speaking in my name. I do not say that, by sinning you offend me, who have died for you. I speak only defending the interests and sentiments of my Father, who has created you like himself, who loves you with a perfection of paternal love, and whom man insults with his lovelessness and defrauds in his hopes, which are to be able to clasp you to his breast on the day of your entry into life. Few are the souls that do not come to God a bit dark, rendered dark by the consequences of the lives they have been unable to lead with that holy and attentive reflection which would be required out of respect for the soul, which has rights superior to the flesh. You abundantly remember the rights of the flesh, something which dies, and which only in being experienced as the handmaid of the spirit and not the mistress of the spirit, can in due time become an inhabitant in the royal palace of the heavens. You are concerned about your appearance, your physical health, and protracting life on earth as long as possible. But you are not concerned about your souls, about keeping them beautiful, about adorning them more and more so, as to add to their beauty, created by God, the gems conquered by your will as children mindful of the Father, to whom they want to return enriched with merits, true jewels, true wealth that never perishes. You are concerned about physical health, but do not keep watch, to preserve your souls from spiritual illnesses. You are concerned about protracting what you call living, which would more properly be called waiting, and you are not concerned about waiting in such a way as to conquer for yourselves true life which never perishes. You are concerned about everything in this dark period, which seems so luminous to you, of your stay on earth, which I have already explaining to you as being like a gestation, in order to be given to the light, to life, and look with horror at the tomb, a dark hole where this body of yours, which you love, as the idolaters you are, returns to the truth of its origin. Mud. Mud from which there is released a flame, a light. The soul. This is what gives worth to the body, O foolish men. The soul which is the gift of God, the spirit which is the manifestation of God, and which has a worth in the face of which that of the flesh is a paltry nothing. But how can you, who call yourselves Christians, not remember the words of the Christ, of the word, of truth? Didn't I tell you, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses it out of love for me will save it? Didn't I say, and what use is it for a man to gain the world, if he loses his soul? What will man give in exchange for his soul? Didn't I say, the grain of wheat which falls does not fructify unless it dies, but if it dies, it produces much fruit? And hasn't all of this opened the eyes of your spirit? But, indeed, how can your spirit open its eyes, if you have buried it under the stones of your carnality? It is like a martyr who has been stoned. With the difference, that in the martyr who is stoned the flesh will die, and the spirit will enter into glory, whereas you, on the other hand, stone your spirit, and rob it of the light here, and in true life. And you are afraid of the darkness of the tomb for your flesh, then insensitive like a lump of mud. Yes. But you are not horrified at condemning to eternal darkness what is light in you, and longs for infinite light, your spirit. And you do not consider that, as thirsty seekers after riches, you lose true riches. And, hungry for life, you do not consider that you cause yourselves death, the undying death, the death of the spirit. You extinguish yourselves in your immortality as citizens of heaven. Indeed, you do even worse. You place your light in the hands of Satan, so that he can make it a dark glimmer in his kingdom of darkness. Oh, profaners! Worse than if with your demoniacal discoveries, aimed at evil, you managed to extirpate stars from my firmament and put out their light as living diamonds in a putrid swamp. Be able to make the flesh die, and not the soul, to germinate into an eternal ear of grain. Your posterity on earth is always ephemeral. The centuries have destroyed lineages that seemed immortal, and nothing but the memory of them survives, and not even that in many cases. But what you do in the spirit does not die. Even in terms of the earth, it does not die. Look at my saints. The centuries pass, and the veneration for them remains, as on the first day. And, in addition, never work for the glory of being canonized. That is still humanity, and the true saint doesn't think of it. He thinks only of increasing God's jubilation on adding a new splendid flower to the eternal meadows, and of contenting his soul, which cries out and tosses about, because of its thirst to possess God completely. We are two thirsts longing for each other, two loves seeking one another. The soul and God, God and the soul. These are the two perennial lovers. Why rob God and the soul of their end, which is to be united, beyond the earthly day and the eternal dwelling? I, perfect mercy, do not look, if you come to me a little dark from the glare of the earthly sun of your tendencies. I only want you to fight, so that the burning sun of carnality will not make you unrecognizable for my gaze and repellent to my eye. Put up a shield around the excessively dangerous burning of humanity. Let this be provided by your assiduous attention, by your will to be good, by your desire to please me. This is enough for me. And if you do this, you are already doing everything, for attention, will, and desire are like three pegs upon which the tent preserving a heart from what can disgust God is stretched out. For if a sudden storm unleashed by Satan, envious of God, later tears away the shield, and enables the rain clouds and lightning to dirty and darken you, I, who see and know, do not accuse you of it, but justify you and run to your aid. Then I become your protection, poor children. I clasp you to my breast and say, don't cry, I take pity on you. I am here to cleanse you, to help you. Come. The God of love gives you his blood, to clean you of the mud, and his heart is a safe asylum. Come, men for whom Satan lays traps. Satan does not come close to me. Raise your heads towards God. Do not become discouraged. I wanted to be tempted to experience as a man what Satan's seduction is, and take pity on you, not with a mind as God, but with the experience of man, in your temptations. Do not be discouraged. It is enough for me that you do not want to sin. It is enough for me that you do not despair after sin. The former offends me as God. The latter offends me as Savior. You should never doubt your Savior, never. All forgiveness is reserved for whoever has faith in the power of the Savior. I, who am the truth, tell you so. Do you see, little Maria, how much there is to be said about a simple sentence in the song? And do you feel that your suffering has ceased? No. You have not lost a mother. I am here, and I cradle you, and sing to you the most sublime lullabies to console your heart, which weeps. I am here holding your hand, and having you stroll with me in the eternal gardens. I made the promise, and I'll keep it. I am your mother and father, in addition to your brother and spouse. I, the Redeemer, will take care of your mother. I, love, will take care of you. Go in peace. I am always with you.